Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Father, I just thank you, God, that you are good, that you are good. And Lord, we just bless this day. Holy Spirit, we invite you. And we just crave your presence. And we just ask for more revelation into your heart and into the depths of who you are. And I thank you that you love sharing the depths of Papa and Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, I ask for your just your anointing on your word today, on the word today. And just bless this time in Jesus' name. We're going to really get into the next 2 weeks on intimacy and kind of the how-to and what it looks like. A lot of times people think that everybody has a different idea of what intimacy should look like. And I lived most of my life until probably 2005. Even that was about 4 years into inner healing before I really got it, started realizing what it was like. So I was like, had been a Christian since I was 9. So a long time pondering intimacy and wondering what in the world that looks like and trying to see people, trying to connect with people that had that. And in a conservative setting, it's a little more difficult to find, but yet you have a lot of maturity in the Word and confidence in God, but that intimate relationship on a, you know, friend to friend and lover and brother and those kinds of things really don't manifest often in that setting. So a number one there says, we will always be an expression of the reality that we are most aware of. If you're most aware of the bad things in your life and what the enemy is trying to stir up around you, if you're focused on that and you're seeing all the bad things in the world and you're getting fearful because of that and you're getting stirred up or worried about the next day, your finances, you're struggling in your finances and all these things that want to crush us, If that is what you're focused on, if that's what you see and you're most aware of, you're going to manifest that reality. That's where you're living. If you're most connected with the Lord, with His kingdom, with His peace, His joy, His goodness. If you have that deep relationship, that is what's going to manifest in the middle of all this other stuff going on. Does that make sense? So what you're most aware of is what you're going to manifest. So if you're walking in peace in the middle of the storm, people see that. That's rare. But if you're all stirred up, that's what we think is normal. I mean, that would, like, our circumstances warrant that fear, that anger, that frustration, that kind of thing, you know, so we think our circumstances warrant that. And so that's kind of expected. We don't get surprised when somebody's upset about everything. And so just kind of be aware of, what are you manifesting? What are you focused on? What's your reality? What's the reality that you're most aware of? Because that's what you'll manifest. If you're all stirred up and you're fearful, walking in fear and worry, and you're trying to minister to somebody and calm them down, and you know, you can't give away what you don't have, right? You can't give peace if you don't have peace. You can't give right thinking if you have confusion going on. You can't, if fear is welled up within you, you're not going to be able to speak confidence and trust, those things. So that's number one. We need to be aware of what are we focused on? What's our reality? What's the reality that we think that we live in? There's two choices, kingdom reality or the reality of the natural realm we see, which is infected with demonic influences. It is. This is this world has demonic or alive and well on the planet Earth. So we need to, the Bible says for us to be aware of the schemes of the enemy. And so we just need to be aware of them, and we need to know how to fight, how to stand firm, no matter what the enemy throws at. We need to be aware of his schemes of deception. That's his big tool, is deception. And so we need to be aware of that. We need to know how to come against that, how to keep peace. Our goal is to walk in the manifest revelation of the kingdom brought into the natural. Okay, so God lives in the kingdom realm. And the more you tap into the Lord, the more you're going to bring that kingdom into this natural realm. And that is what will manifest. That's what we're after. We want peace, because we want the Lord's peace in all situations, because Jesus slept through the storm, right? In the boat. I mean, there's never a place where he was worried or fearful or anxious, or those kinds of things just didn't manifest on him, because he was bringing kingdom to earth. He was reaching into his reality, was where God was seated on the throne, where Father was seated on the throne, and he was bringing that to earth. That's what we have, that same ability. We have that same privilege to walk in that place. And we need to go for it. We need to know that we can. And so have that confidence that we are a brother of Jesus. We are his, we are a child of the Father. And he looks at us that way. And so he's gonna, but you know, your children, what they believe about you is what they manifest. Even a natural parent-child relationship, what the child perceives that you think about them is how they act. How they manifest. So if the child thinks that you are critical of them, that you don't approve of them, that you don't like them, they're going to act out. They're going to act in that, because that's their that's the reality that they're living in. But if the child is knows that they're well loved, that they're treated with honor and respect, as you know, as we try to guide them in right decision. I mean, we can't respect if they're rebelling, but you know what I mean. If you're treating that child in a place of unconditional love and acceptance, that no matter what they do, they're loved. If they know that, they're going to act out far less. They're going to live in that reality of love and confidence that I am loved, and so they're going to act more like a loved child. So the parent doesn't always determine that reality, but, you know, the enemy gets in there and twists things, and that's a whole different thing. But we've all experienced that. So it's your belief system that you're working with here. What do you believe? And you have reasons for what you believe, and the enemy's there to try and deceive you so that your reasons are twisted. We want the reality of the kingdom. We want to live in that place of confidence and knowing Father's heart for us. It can only be achieved through intimate relationship with the one who is the author of peace. So we want to walk in the manifest expression of the kingdom. Rest. Rest is the harmonious working of our will, heart, and imagination and conscience. Because each has found in God the ideal sphere for its satisfaction and development. That's rest. When you are so confident in God, so all the parts of you, your mind, will, and emotions, all of that has come into unity and is at peace with the Lord, that's a place of rest. That's where we want to head, and it's possible. That's where Jesus lived. That's where he operated out of. Dwelling in the place, number two there, dwelling in the place of rest seems like a fantastic impossibility. We see few, if any, Christians modeling this kind of internal rest. and we have trouble placing our confidence in the reality of its existence. We're good at quoting scriptures that talk about peace and rest and truly want to walk in that place, but have little success in achieving lasting peace. We get measure of peace. We get moments, but the enemy's not going to want you to stay there very long. And so he'll continually try to stir up anything that can keep you from being in peace. He doesn't want you to be peaceful, because when you're not peaceful, then you're not. It's harder to trust. And so if he can rob your peace, then he's got your attention, and your reality has shifted from the kingdom to what the enemy's doing. We need to have like dove's eyes, because doves, they can only look straight ahead. And so we need to keep our focus on Jesus and not see what's off to the side. We just need to be aware of the schemes, but we don't want to be focused on, Satan is just simply not worth our attention. It's not worth our attention. God has a plan and a purpose for us. It's to succeed. It's to walk in peace. It's to walk in the kingdom. That's his heart for us. That's what Jesus, when he died and rose again and went straight to heaven, and is seated on the throne, and we're seated there with him. That is open. We have open access to the throne room of God. We have open access to the kingdom. We need to know it. We need to live in that reality. And that's when you bring it here. When you bring it here to earth, things start happening. But it takes relationship. You're not going to get it any other way. And relationship is not, we can have manifestation. We can have manifestation of the Holy Spirit's presence, or God, Jesus' presence. We can have that manifestation. You can feel that weighty or however you feel it. Many, many ways that we feel it, but that is not confirmation of intimacy. That's not confirmation of relationship. That just means he's in the room and you're feeling it. You can even invite that. You can bring it in with you that others can feel it, and that's a sweet thing. I don't feel it the way most. I cry. And I shared that with you before, but I know that presence, and so I do work. When I sit with him, but now when I sit with him, if I just have a moment and I turn my focus towards the Lord, I feel it. You can feel it. It's so. But too often people think. I had somebody tell me they were in ministry a lot. And they said, asked me if, we got to talking about manifestation. And they're one that walks in that drunk place a lot, almost constantly. And they said, if you're going to do ministry, you need to have this. You need to, if you're going to be in full-time ministry, you need to have this or you're going to get tired. And I was like, okay, I can't make that particular manifestation happen. The Lord chooses, and how we react. And I mean, how we react as individual. And so I'm not gonna. I didn't go there with them, like that equals intimacy. That equals relationship. It doesn't. But relationship equals, when you have relationship, you will feel peace. You'll have joy. You'll have the fruit of the Spirit. That's relationship manifested. That's relationship manifested. So that's what we're after. Those things are lasting. Those things are the things that will get you through a trial. Feeling the presence is good, but it's not going to get you through a trial. You need something that will sustain you through every trial that you're going to face. And we face them. Nobody's immune to it. In Isaiah 26:3, says, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. There's some key words. First of all, the Lord's going to guard us when we're in relationship. It's Psalm 91. This is talking, I mean, it's that place of abiding under the shelter of his wing. When you're abiding there, he will guard you. This is like explaining Psalm 91 in a nutshell here. He will guard you. When you read scriptures like that, take them as promises. It's God speaking to you, and he doesn't lie, and his words are, he's serious when he speaks. There, each word that the Lord speaks out is full of revelation and truth, and it's meant to draw you into him, and it's meant to cause life in you. Let it cause life in you. Take it as a promise. Embrace these kinds of scriptures that says he will do something for you. He will guard you and keep you in perfect peace, perfect and constant peace. How many of us walk in perfect and constant peace? Anybody? No? I don't either, but I'm getting there. It's like the I'll just be honest with you. The physical is my last hurrah that I'm working on. That's the place. And I shared with you last week how I had a serious setback a couple weeks ago, and there was no fear. That was huge. And for me to get through that, I know that this verse is real. It's real. God will keep you in perfect, constant peace. He'll guard your heart. So in order for him to guard our heart, we have to not be rebellious. We have to be walking in relationship. We have to know him. We have to know that his character. Those things will help. You know, he can't protect us if we're being rebellious. He can't protect us if we're all fired up in fear. If we're focused on the enemy, we come out from under his wings. Our eyes have shifted from kingdom to what the enemy's doing, because the enemy's loud and noisy, and it gets our attention. Those are distractions meant to draw you away from the Lord. Enemy does not want you to walk in this place, because this renders him powerless. He does not want you to walk here. If he knows that you know who you are and who your father is, he'll test that and try and get you out of that place. And that's where the Lord will guard you. He will guard your heart, whose mind, both its inclination and its character. So there's that, goes back up to the what rest is: will, heart, imagination, and conscience. When the working of that has come together, so right here it is again: its inclination and its character. What we're inclined to, what our character, are we so full of God that we're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit? So whose mind, will, whose inclination and character is stayed on you. So we need to be fixed on God, because we have committed ourselves. We lean on him and hope in him, confidently leaning and hoping. If we cannot do that with God, just think about that for a moment. If we can't confidently lean on God, so what we do is we tend to let our circumstances determine how powerful we think God is, or what we think he's going to do. We try and figure all those things out. It's best not to. It's best to just say, you know, God, I trust you here because I know your character. And your character is perfect. You are without sin. And if I can't rest in that, then get me to where I can. Because you're the one thing, the one constant thing that I can put my hope and trust in. So ask the Lord to work that out in your heart, where you can stand in the face of any trial and say, my God is good, and believe it, that he is faithful. He is trustworthy. He will help me. He's my help. He'll help me through this to get your strength from him. So those things are only able to grow and manifest in your life through time spent with him. Time spent. So how do you, you know, how do we spend our time with the Lord? That's a, everybody goes about that a little bit different. I would encourage you that when you spend time with the Lord, do it in a place of rest and inviting him, inviting the Holy Spirit into that time and to guide, like even what you're praying, to give you words to pray. Just, like spend just you time. Lots of us spend time interceding for others, interceding for our nation or Israel or other nations. We're always like working because our time is short and we want to get everything in. But then at the end of that, and so we read a scripture and we think about it a little bit and then we're off. And so there's really no time there to get into your heart what the Lord's saying to you about you. So you need to sit and have time with him that is spent only on God. How do you see me here? Holy Spirit, how can I guide my prayers right now? And just listen to him and let him start you off, and it's powerful. And then he'll lead you to a time of just resting and just meditating. And so even guide my meditation. Guide my thoughts right now. Help me to be centered and focused and have those dove's eyes right here. And then be silent. We think we always got to be talking. We're in a media-infested, noise-infested world. If you've ever gone in, and you guys might do this, so I don't mean to offend anybody, but you go over to somebody's house and you're there for a visit, and the first thing they do is turn on the TV. And then you're supposed to talk over the TV because there's that noise. It's just a background noise. And it's not that they're not focused on you, but there's that noise. That noise always has to be going on. When you're with God, get the noise out. Let all of that go and ask Holy Spirit to help you center on him and just... Let him convince you how amazing he is. Let him convince you how much he loves you. Let him convince you that he's worth your time. That he's a safe place, and he values each one of you with his life. Each one of you, Jesus truly died with each one of you in mind. So I shared that picture, I think, of when I was sitting at the banquet table and before. And when I got there, the table was longer than I could see the end of it. And it was laden with all this elaborate food and beautiful setting, gold setting, table settings, and everything was amazing. And many, many people at the table. And I wasn't even at the head of the table, but it's like, when I was there, Jesus, I was his focus. And I knew that he was so intent. He grabbed my hand. He just stared into my eyes like a lover. And I knew that each person there, he was doing the exact same thing. And everyone felt like he was just there for them. God has that ability. And you are precious in his sight. So let him convince you how precious you are. That takes quiet time spent with him. Learn how to listen. If you don't know how to listen to the Lord, go to Roy's classes. Develop that. Develop your hearing. In Isaiah, I'll just read 3 here real quick. We tend to spend a lot of time trying to control everything and everyone around us in order to maintain a false sense of peace. That's a big one. We all try to control our little sphere, atmosphere. It's because, seriously, it's because it boils down to we don't trust God right there. we need to feel peaceful, and so we start trying to control everybody around us in one way or another, and our circumstances, whatever it takes to cause us to be peaceful. That peace, that need for peace is, you're created in the image of God, and He is peace. And so that need for peace is drawing you into what's in you. You have a holy peace that dwells in you. That's what you need to tap into. And the enemy doesn't want you to know that that's there. To know that you have that character, that God-given character, gift. He's the Prince of Peace, lives inside of you. That's what you need to tap into. You cannot achieve. So we don't see that. We don't rest in that. And so we want to. So we start this desperate search for peace. We start grabbing at other things. We grab at the TV. We grab for the chocolate. We grab for, and we try to control everybody else around us. And we're wanting what's already in us, and we don't know it. In relationship, that place of relationship, that peace. You'll become, when you can let everything else go, that peace manifests. It was there all along. Because He is God. He is the very Spirit of God dwells in you, and that's one of His characters. You have those God characters in you. It's a natural part of who you are as a Christian. It was even given to you when you were birthed. I mean, because you were made in His image. So it's a double whammy. We're made in His image, and we have then the Holy Spirit, we're His sanctuary. So in that being, let's tap into what's in us. God's character dwells in you. And so all the distractions out here are just that. It's the enemy trying to keep you from tapping into what God's given you already. In Isaiah, I don't know if I have this on here. I'm going to get it right here. It is. Let's go to, did I read that? As we commit to intimacy with our Lord, our minds are renewed and we are gradually transformed into the very likeness of Christ, who is in a constant state of peace. In Isaiah 53:5, but He was wounded for our transgressions and He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon Him. And with stripes that wounded Him, we are healed and made whole. Even for our well-being. When you're in deep relationship with the Lord, the deeper you go, the more you feel that well-being, like it's all is well with my soul. There's a old song like that. It is well with my soul. You'll rest in that. And that, so intimacy will pull you into that place of where you know that the enemy cannot rob you of these things. That's what we're after. We don't want that. We don't want to allow Him that privilege, or he isn't worth that. Everything that He could throw at you, He is not worth letting Him rob you of what God's put in you. That the manifest presence of Jesus, God, Father, and the Holy Spirit, in John 17:20 talks about that, about us being one with God. That reality, that's a kingdom reality that is absolute truth. We need to be more convinced of that than we do of our physical realm that we live in. We're one, and so no matter what the physical is manifesting, it is well with my soul. And you know it. And there's a peace and a confidence. So can you see how everything that we're after, peace and faith and joy and love and all those things will manifest out of intimacy? It will naturally result because you're in that place of intimacy. Your mind is being renewed and you're being healed and transformed into the very likeness of Christ, the word says. So as that happens, all these things are a natural result of that, because that's who you are. That's what he's put in you. And now it's coming out. It's able to be freed. We want to free it. We want to let it out. How amazing is God, number four there, that he included the price of our peace and well-being as being paid in full in the suffering of Christ's death and resurrection. This is a reality we must know and embrace. Take these kinds of scriptures and eat them. Eat the word. Matthew 11, 27 through 30, it says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. This is Jesus speaking. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son wills to reveal him. So no one knows the Father but the Son and anyone. So that's us. Because Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and he will reveal the Father to us. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's another promise. If we come unto him with our weary, heavy laden hearts, he will give us rest. That's a promise. Because you don't feel that rest doesn't mean he's reneging on his promise. It means that you're not letting go of what is causing the unrest. So your reality hasn't shifted completely yet. So we're in process. Remember, we talked about how we are a process. And so intimacy doesn't happen overnight. Intimacy, the levels and depths of intimacy takes time and sometimes years. Can be speeded up. There's things you can do to speed it up, but it's not going to happen overnight. And it takes time invested. And there's levels. So you can start, and the deeper you go, the more it manifests, the more satisfied you are, the more peaceful, there's more. There's always more. I think that throughout eternity, God is going to leave us wanting, but yet we're always going to be wanting more, because he's always going to have more to give. We're always going to be drawn to him, because he's a never-ending fount of life. And so we're always going to be drawn to his life and all that he has. That's awesome. Number 20, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So we need to learn from Jesus. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is full of promise. We need to embrace the yoke of Christ, because he carries. So we're so linked with him that when you're yoked, you know, when oxen are yoked, when one takes a step, the other one has to, I mean, you're pulled along in unity, and pretty soon they're walking in unity. And when one turns, the other one has to turn. So it's the same with when we're yoked to Jesus. When he turns, we turn. And when he walks uphill, we're walking uphill, or whatever he chooses to walk, we're right with him there, because we're so connected with him. We're yoked to him. We're one. That's being one with him. In that place, we don't get off our path, do we? It's impossible to get off your path when you're yoked, when you're connected to the Lord in such a way that you're not distracted by the enemy. You don't get off the path to look at something over here that the enemy's doing. You only see it in a, you're aware of it, but you know what to do about it. In order to come to Jesus, we must first admit our need for help, and we must come to him with a soft, humble heart, recognizing our inability to create lasting peace without him. We can try. We see that in Theophosta, in inner healing a lot, and we all do it. We try to tell ourselves truth. We know a lot of truth. And we try and tell ourselves that. We try and convince ourselves. We try and tell other people that. But peace rarely comes through that. Now, we can gradually, if we tell it to ourselves enough, we'll gradually begin to shift that way. But when the Lord comes in and in a second will tell you the same thing you just told yourself 2 hours ago, and when he says it, a transformation takes place and it's instant peace. It's amazing. And so that's what we're after, allowing him to transform our minds, and we need to let go of what our striving. I'm going to talk about that right here. Sabbath rest on the next page says to stop doing what you're doing. That's what it means. A Sabbath rest is to stop doing what you're doing. We need to stop doing the things that keep us from entering the rest of God. Things like striving, needing to control, fear, worry, rationalizing, etc. These feeble and exhausting efforts at maintaining a false sense of peace will eventually be exposed for what they are. Deception aimed at keeping us from the very thing we are desperately seeking. Rest that translates as the peace of Christ that transcends understanding. That giving up all those things that we have set in place to try and maintain or try and find some kind of peace or joy or what, you know, that place that satisfies where we're actually in a place of rest. We have a lot of things that we've put in place to try and achieve that, and it's subconscious. We don't even realize we're doing it half the time. That's why I go before the Lord and I expose my heart, God, because my heart is deceitfully wicked, and I need you to expose my heart so that I am not hiding things from myself, because I can deceive myself. I can think I'm just fine. I lived that way for a long time, thinking I was just fine, thanks. Everybody else is a mess, but I'm okay. What a lie, you know? And so I asked God just to, when he started showing me the things that I believed and things I was doing to try and come into a place of rest with him, it was humbling. Humbling. Let the Lord humble you. It's a good place. Because when you're humble, you're soft and you're desperate. You're moldable and pliable. You're willing to be instructed. You're okay with and even seek correction and instruction. So let him humble you. We don't need to fear it, because God's not mean. He doesn't do it in a mean way. He's not gonna crush us. But he will bring us to the end of ourselves, which is a bit painful. Stripping the flesh is a bit painful, but it's worth it. In Hebrews 3:12-14 says, therefore beware, brethren, take care lest there be any one of you a wicked, unbelieving heart, which refuses to cleave to, trust in, and rely on him. So that's our heart. And so beware, you know, if any of us has an unbelieving heart, those places where we fail to stand firm in trust, it's because of there's something that we aren't convinced of. Let the Lord expose those places, because you need to be convinced that he is trustworthy, that he is faithful, that he's good. You need to be convinced of those things. So let him invite him. So invite him, say, Jesus, expose my heart. I don't want to have an unbelieving heart. Doesn't mean you don't believe in Jesus. Just means you don't believe everything about him for you. You believe it for everybody else. But when it hits this spot in your life, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, I can't quite let him, let everything go here because this is too much. And so that's that whole thing of needing to control. And so we come back in and we try and control the, figure things out and control our circumstances. And this whole path, we keep going ring around the rosy, you know, we keep going around the tree over and over until we get it. So ask him to help you get it so you can go to a different tree and get that one. An unbelieving heart leading you to turn away and desert or stand aloof from the living God. When you have an unbelieving heart and those things well up within you like fear or anxiety and those things, they'll start to pull you. The purpose, the enemy's purpose there is to pull you away from your gaze on the Lord. That's the whole intent, is to pull you away from your gaze. He wants to shift your gaze. He does not want you shifted. He doesn't want you to be gazing or beholding the Lord, because that which you behold, you become. And so he's going to try and take your gaze off of God. His whole scheme is to destroy your relationship with the Lord. Even if he can't have your soul or your spirit, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the enemy will still be relentless about disturbing your relationship with him so that you do not walk in the revelation of who you are in Christ and who he is. But instead, warn, admonish, and urge and encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be burdened or in too settled rebellion by deceitfulness of sin, by the fraudulent, the stratagem, and the trickery which the delusive glamour of his sin may play on him. So that's like our mind, the deception of our minds is elaborate. Let me tell you, doing so many thousands of hours of inner healing, the mind is way more complicated than what I ever thought. We are capable of such amazing deception of beliefs, and subtle. The enemy is subtle how he places those in you. So they're like a half truth. A lot of them are half truths, or and they get in there and they're so deep and twisted that it's hard to unravel those things. Doesn't take the Lord long, but when we try to speak into that, it's layers upon layers of that. And so it can get very complicated, but God's amazing. He can get through all that in a very short time. So this is wordy right here. It's the Amplified Version, but it really lays it out what's all involved there. Trickery, delusive glamour. You know, sin has a pull on us that we need to acknowledge. It does. It looks good for the moment. I just had somebody text me that none of you know. They live the other end of the country. And they text me and said, please pray for me. They've been fighting addiction and some other things. And they said, please pray for me. I don't know what to do because I just fell again. And the thing is, I recognized that I wanted to. And I'm so confused. I love the Lord. And I don't want to, but I wanted to. And it's like, that's the level of deception that we can go to, that we want to, because sin has, in reality, our flesh nature is drawn to sin. And that's what we need to allow the Lord to cut off. We talked about that last week, about the gem and how he facets us in such a way that... But some of that faceting can be a bit painful. But the pain is far worth the redemption. I mean, what we let go is, there's no comparison to what we gain by letting that flesh part go. But we will hang on to that like crazy until we get that mind renewal. And that's what I'm praying for her, that she... She gets that. For we have become fellows with Christ. So there's that. There's what you have become. Okay. You become a fellow, a partner. You're his brother. You're his lover. You're connected with Christ. You're bought with a price. He seated you in the heavenly realms. So you have become one with him and share all he has for us. If we only hold to our first newborn confidence, an original assured expectation in virtue of which we believers, firm and unshaken to the end. We need to get in that. We need to be so convinced of this that we are unshaken, that we stand firm, that there is no shaking. It is possible. It's possible. With God's help, it's possible. That's his heart for you. Sabbath keeping is the perpetual Sabbath rest to be enjoyed uninterruptedly by believers in the unity experienced by fellowship with God. The perpetual Sabbath rest. In contrast to the weekly Sabbath under the law, in whatever way believers enter into divine rest, that which they enjoy is involved in an indissoluble relationship with God. The Sabbath keeping is a perpetual rest that you never have to leave. That is a relationship. That's the relationship. That is a relationship that is supernatural. We have a supernatural God, and we need to embrace the kingdom, that supernatural kingdom, and then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that there are no limitations. It's not by our... I've had to work hard, and I'm learning to rest in that because I've worked hard. I've worked hard at trying to get my into a place where I'm not thinking, okay, I've got to put a lesson together and striving in that and letting and resting. I'm learning how to step over and resting in who Papa says he is, that the Holy Spirit's always speaking to me. So I start pulling on the kingdom rather than on the flesh. And when I start pulling on the kingdom, then the lesson comes together, and I don't have to, there's no anxiety, there's no worry, there's no fear, it's like a whole different thing that happens, and I can't make that up. I tried that for a long time. I mean, when I've shared with you before, when God started calling me into teaching and leadership, those are two things that, like, I didn't even have that on the radar. I mean, my radar didn't even, that wasn't even a possibility. And so when he started calling me to that, talk about mind renewal, brain transplant is more like it. And so it's been hard because the flesh rises up and you have all this stuff start happening and like, oh my goodness, seriously. And so it's so tapped into my woundedness. So that's where, you know, the enemy wants to shut you down in what God's calling you to be, who he says you are, the gifts and anointings that he has planned for your life. The enemy wants to shut that down. He does not want you to walk in that. That's where power flows, when you start knowing who you are and you're walking in relationship. You're walking in one, in unity, in that oneness with God. That's when the kingdom, which is, there's power in the kingdom. The kingdom doesn't come without power. It is. It's supernatural. And so when you're in that, so even your peace is a supernatural peace, or your joy is supernatural if you have that in the middle of strife or trials or we've heard of those people that have been tortured, and they're singing during the torture, or they're, you know, that's crazy, but that's relationship. That's true peace, not false. We want true peace. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence is the Lord is. So we rely, lean, and trust in him, and he becomes our hope and our confidence. He is that for us, because we, in and of ourselves, our flesh nature can't provide that. And the enemy would have you think it could. But it will not sustain you. But this kind, leaning into Jesus and letting him manifest his presence in you, provides a lasting, sustainable peace and joy. He becomes your confidence. So your confidence is, you are confident because he's confident. You are joyful because he's joyful. You are peaceful because he's peaceful. It's when you embrace that relational, that all that the relationship with God involves, it's you become what he is. How amazing is that? That's what we were born for. You know, we're born to walk in that. It is with number 8 there. Verse 8. It says, "For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes. But its leaf shall be green, it shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit." That's amazing. You have a tree in a year of drought that's bearing fruit, and it's green, and it's doing all that it was meant to do in the middle of a drought. We need to be that tree. And the water is Jesus. He's the living water. So if we plant ourselves by him, and we, in intimacy, we grow our roots really deep. There's no limit to how deep you can go. So the deeper you go and you're growing those roots, you will, when it's dry around you, even in the middle of a desert, even if you're in the desert, it doesn't matter. You're going to manifest growth. And you're going to manifest, you're going to be able to give out. You're still going to be that healthy green tree. Nobody can rob that from you. It's what you believe. So you're that green tree, and you see that, okay, this drought is coming, and you start looking at the drought, and you start seeing the other trees withering. And then pretty soon you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to wither. This is going to affect me. I'm going to look like, you know, and you start. So what's just happened? Instead of looking at that water and keeping your focus on what's right there and what you've tapped into, you're looking at what's going on all around you. And you're letting that convince you that that's your reality. Be careful what you focus on. Be careful what you believe. Says the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit even searches the mind of God. Let him search your mind. Let him pull out things, wrong thinking that you're believing, so that you can walk in this place of embrace unity with confidence. Number 8, it's wisdom to develop an unshakable faith with the Lord. He is worthy of our time spent in developing an intimate relationship. We need to set unity with Jesus as a goal deserving of our dedication and passion. Living in the Sabbath rest is not a transferable anointing. Somebody else that is walking in that can't just pray over you and pray intimacy on you. It's not a transferable anointing. Now, you can transfer peace. I often pray over somebody and they'll feel peace, but it's not lasting. As soon as they go off on their journey and they start focusing on other things, that peace will lift. So that's something you need to eat. We all need to develop for ourselves. Living in the Sabbath rest is not a transferable anointing. I must have needed to repeat that. Jesus paid a high price so that we might have unity and one in oneness with him and the Father. We need to seek this place of rest with a holy devotion to the one who is love. It's the love of Jesus that makes this place of intimate relationship. It's his humility, his love. It's who he is that is wants to draw you into this place. Let him draw you. Let him draw you. Father, I just thank you, God, for each person here. And I just lift them up to you. And I ask that you open their minds to a greater revelation of the possibilities of relationship with you, of the depths that you want to take them, the freedom in that place that you have for them, for it is an exhilaratingly free place. God, I ask that you teach them how, Holy Spirit, draw them in a way that they can understand, that we can understand. I want more of this. Lord, I speak blessing over every heart and mind here, that they be unified as one in you and in each other. I pray John 17:20 over them. I thank you that you are God and you will do it in Jesus' name.